2 weeks, and we've been getting more in the last 2 weeks because they are doing the push for the international peacekeepers. So with that, I'll turn it over because he's a lot more interesting than what I am.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. And I am Dr. Zuhair Fathallah. I am a medical doctor and work in Basra. My church is, as you see, it is the National Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Basra. And that is our logo. Now, Basra city is the city at the lowermost part of Iraq. At this area, this is the Basra city. That is the Iraq, the at the top of the Gulf. The Basra city sit there, just beside Kuwait. And the Basra is the main port of Iraq, and it is the main area or oil producing area in Basra. Basra is usually it is the city which is the most wealthy city in the region because it contains a large reserve of oil and it contains the most of the agricultural products in Basra. And most of the population in Basra are, it is estimated at 2012 to be about 2 million, but there are more, about 2,750,000, and mostly are Shia Muslim, with a little Sunni and less Christian. We were more Christian in Basra, about 5,000. Christian in Basra with the beginning of the 2003 before the invasion of the Allied forces to Iraq, and later on it became less and less and less till we about now the whole Christian in Basra is about 1,000. Now the other problem is that our church, we used to during the 70s we were a big church in our prospect with 350 members. Now my church is only 40 members. Now Basra is the site, the biblical site, the north of Basra actually is the biblical site of the Garden of Eden, where the four rivers of the Garden of Eden, the mentioned in the Bible, is there. So these are the Tigris, which is the Hadakil, the Euphrates, there is the Kihon River there, and the Pison River. Now all these rivers still exist, except this one. It was disappeared by, because this is a desert area. What they discovered it only by the picture of the satellite. They discovered that there was a river somewhere there. And usually, these are the site of the meeting of the Tigris and the Euphrates, and you can see the color of the water change, different color, and that will extend for a few hundred meters before the color will mix together. Now, at this site, this small village contain a ruin of a tree which the local people called it Adam tree, and it is there for as long as the people can remember. It is there for a long time. Now the city of Basra is getting modernized now, and there is new building going on. These are the airport, Basra Airport. This is the highways. This is a new stadium is building. This the hotel, which is just opposite to the church. This is some of the old buildings in Basra, the bamboo kind of cottage, and the old building there. This is a minaret, which is something unique. Now, this is my church, the Presbyterian Church in Basra. This is the building of the new church, which was opened in 1997. This is what remains of the congregation. It's nearly 40, and during the services. Now, the whole story starts with the arrival of the two missionaries from the Reformed Church in America. And they formed these two gentlemen with Samuel Zwemer. This is Samuel Zwemer and James Canton. They arrived, they established the Arabian mission of the Reformed Church. And they originally, I thought the Reformed Church originally was from the Orange City. But later on, in Orange City, they told me, no, these two gentlemen established that missionary in New Jersey. So they were actually arrived to Basra in October 1891. They arrived to Basra and established a congregation which that time they called it the National Evangelical Protestant Church or congregation. Now, in 1931, this was the original church. Before that, all the congregation were meeting at the missionary church or missionary chapel. But later on, they built a new building, and they were start to be recognized by the government. And this man was our first pastor of the church, and that was in 1931. This man there was one of the missionaries, George Gosling. He's dead, of course, now. His son Charles Gosling, I know him very well. I met him a few times. Now, the new church was opened because that one was hit directly during the shelling between Iraq and Iran, and later shelling during the first Gulf War. So it was no more safe to be worshiping it, and because it was destruction in the structure of the building. So we have to abandon it, and we had a new one built in a more residential area, and it was we are proud of it because it is well known. They used to call it the Red Church because of the red color there, but it is well known because of the cross at the front of the building, that cross which glow at night, and you can see it from far away. So we are proud of it, and that it is. Now, the church, when it was opened in 1997, we had a big celebration in the area because it was a church, a new church in Basra after a long time. There were no building of a new church, so we had the opportunity to be the first to build a church. Now, we had a few of our pastors which passed through were distinguished. We have plenty of the pastors, but these are the distinguished pastors. This man was the first pastor, our first pastor. He was educated. He was educated or get his seminary in Mardin, in the north of Iraq, in the north of Syria, in Turkey, south of Turkey. And he was taught that by the missionaries who were in Turkey. Now, this fellow is Egyptian, and he served the church faithfully for about 23 years before he got retired and went back to Egypt. This one was Reverend Albazi, who was a native, and he was one of the members of the church, studied in Cairo, but for some reason or another, in 2003, he left the church. Now, after that, in 2004, we were without pastor. From 2004 till beginning of 2013, when an Egyptian pastor came took over the church services. Before that, I was the only lay pastor, because I am the only elder. So I was the only lay pastor, and I was held by these members of the church. Now, in the church, we have a Sunday school. We are proud of it. It was a big Sunday school, house all the Christians from different denominations, not only the Presbyterian, but later on, the number decreased gradually. Till we end now, this year we had only five of our own children. That's all. And this is some of the activity, and we used to celebrate with the during Christmas with Santa and all the what it needs in the Christmas. We had youth this year, our youngs, about 15 of them, and they are those who do the work in the church. And this is some activity. They have their own prayer, their own session, their own activity. We can't interfere with them, otherwise we will get a problem with them. So, we have the women activity as well, but I'm sorry to say they have a little activities. They are not that taking, because they participate in the church, so they are not. They do their share in the church services, so they are not interested of having their own group of prayer. Now, church activities, what we do for the church. And we can see, because we are a small church, we spent years without any pastor. We used to invite pastors from outside our church, from Baghdad and from Mosul, from Kirkuk, to visit us to do a kind of revival in the church for 3-4 days services, and we invite different denominations, just spread the word that there will be revival in the church, and we get some response from them. Like this one, and there was a prayer. And now, during November 1911, we had opportunity of getting some delegate from the PCUSA arrive to Basra, and they spend a week with us, and we were having services there. Lord's Supper for us, and we took them. This is the Ur, where the birthplace of Abraham, or Abraham, before it changed to Abraham. This is the Zakura. It is a kind of pyramids where the ancient people will use it to worship and to do the sacrifice there at the top of the Zakura. It is a kind of like pyramids, but you can steps on it. There's stairs, and you can go up on it. This is also, they visit the College of Medicine and the hospitals as well. This is again, they came back again in 2012 to visit. Now, in the church, we have. I will talk later about the kindergarten, what's the importance of it to us. But this is the celebration of the kindergarten, and the kindergarten which we have it, it's all Muslims. It is not Christian. There are 250 Muslim children, and I will talk later about it. But when they celebrate, you can see that Santa is coming to them on a motorway. Not on the sledge, on the motorway. So, because they are Muslim and they don't know what is the sledge and the reindeer and the things. So we thought that put him on the motorbike. It would be better. Now, on a Christmas day, we celebrate like any other Christian in the world. We have a joint dinner and celebrate by a mass and dinner together. And the kindergarten, we get a good graduation for them, for the children, and that will bring the families together, the Muslim families. And this is just a few pictures about our new reverend when he arrived to Basra, and we were happy to see our ordained pastor in the church after 9 years. Now, our church is a small church with a 40 person altogether. So it is important for us as a Presbyterian to do a mission work, to witness to the Lord, to try to or to let the word of God reach the other people, the Muslim people. But the things is there, this is not acceptable. I mean, it is not acceptable if I go outside with the books and try to preach the word of God with spreading the books. This is not acceptable. And probably I will not be back home. So we thought how to do the work. So it have to be, instead of going to them, telling them about the gospel and give them the book, let them come to us asking for the book. And we did that in a few ways. The first one we thought of is the kindergarten. Now this is the kindergarten, our kindergarten. Now in the kindergarten we have, as I said, 250 child. And 99% of them are Muslim. We had two, three children who are Christian. Now, what we do in the kindergarten, teach them the Christian values, the Christian manners, the way to behave. The most important thing that we teach them, how to love each other. This is word love. Is not present in the dictionary of Muslim. There's nothing there. So we teach them how to love each other, how to share the toy, how to pray before taking the meal. Few other things we teach them for them to love the country, to love the world. I mean, it is not practiced in Iraq to get, like in the States, to get the flag in every institute. There is nothing like that. So when we got the Iraqi flag in the KG and tell them that you have to respect that when you go, we pass beside it, you bow for the flag. This is important. They conduct this knowledge to their families. And sometimes we teach them hymns or Sunday school song, but we just remove the word Jesus, put the word God instead of it. And they accept that. God for everybody. They accept that. But to tell them Jesus, no. Because that will be religious teaching and they will not accept that. So what happened after that, they were talking about these things to their families, because the parents will figure how the child has changed, how he behaved, different behavior. So they just came and asked how you did that, and they will be curious. and some of them will ask for the Bible, and they ask for the full one, because previously we were taught, don't give the full Bible, give the only the New Testament, and because the Old Testament have a violent something violence in it, so it will be give them a wrong impression about the Christianity. But it seems they know that, and they ask about the whole Bible, the Old and the New Testament. Now, we are gaining from that, because we are not going to them, they are coming to us and ask about the Bible. And when they ask, it is different. I mean, I can't turn back a person who asks about the Bible, because it is morally not good. Now, our second way of doing the mission work is we have an FM radio. This is a kind of something you can say it was a dream, impossible to think of getting a Christian radio in a total Muslim area. This is a dream, but we get the license from the federal government, they accept that, and the local government, they accept that, and they thought that it is something which is amazing. And we were on the air for about 3-4 years now, and these two jobs, they are the one behind the whole thing, helped by the girls. And we get the whole recorded programs from Baghdad, and we put it together and put it on the air. Now the transmitters is only short distance. What we have it is 25 kilometers, about less than 20 mile radius, which is not enough for the center of the city. Well, the Outreach Foundation and PCUSA promised that they will upgrade the whole thing. And they are in the process of getting us a larger transmitter. And the larger transmitter, probably it will cover this area. That's more than 250 miles. And that means We are covering Kuwait, southwest of Iran, and the upper part of Saudi Arabia. And that means the word of gospel will spread more. Now, that FM radio is very popular in Basra. At the beginning, we just didn't announce the frequency, but we gave small... But we give to the Christian churches a small transmitter, a small receiver, received only that frequency, in case that anybody will receive it, but at the same time, the Muslim will not have the access. Now, what happened? Now, if you go to a taxi in Basra, any taxi, you will see that, or you will hear our FM radio, because most of the taxi drivers got the frequency, and they are using it. And sometimes I ask, why you are listening to this radio? He said, it is better than listening to the cries and the things in the other side, in the Muslim side. So they enjoy it. Now, what we are... putting on the air is the reading of the Bibles, short sermon, prayers, and just a conversation between people, which is non-insulting to anybody. It is just even not insulting to the other denomination. It is just Christian values. And that's all, without mentioning any other person. Now, what is happening now? Now, there's another radio, the same Sierra Radio in Baghdad, that one. Every Monday, we linked together by the internet, and the pastor in Baghdad church started to receive calls for prayer. And he do pray for those who call, but the majority are Muslim. They call, but using a nickname, but the nickname is a Muslim name. And probably in a week or two, they ring again, thanking him that the things which pray for it happened. So this is a good thing for us. This is make us happy about it. Especially there's a people also come to the church, asking about the Bible. So this is the second way to get the people to come to the church. And some of them getting interested in the church, they ask, can I attend the service? Yes, the church is open. It is the house of the Lord. And who am I to tell you not to come? Please come. And they do attend. And we have a few Muslims who are regular attendants now. Now, this is our third, because I am a doctor. So I thought we had a shipment of medicine from a German firm, and Austrian firm, and we had it in Basra. So I thought instead of giving it to the hospitals, and probably it will not reach the patient, so better to have it in the church and put a free pharmacy. Anybody who come with a prescription, we will give them the drugs. And anyway, it is finished now. There will be no more if we don't get another supply, another shipment. And that was popular very much. The people heard about it and they were coming for it. Now, what we have in mind is to do a medical day center. I mean, we think Iraq is wealthy. There's a lot of income revenue from the oil, but it is not for the ordinary people. So most of our wealth is going somewhere else, probably to the Swiss banks. So what happened is that the worst area affected is the health. And we thought, well, let's try to do some kind of dispensary, a daycare center with free medicine, but that needs a lot of money. So we have to manipulate the things. And we had this house, which is owned by the church. And we had it as a temporary church during 1994 to 1997, before the new church was opened. Now we are renovating it, changing it into a small commercial flats, and we have rented it to be a clinics, private clinics, with a pharmacy there, a drugstore, and we are getting the income of this building to start a kind of medical center. Just hoping that it will work if we can get help from the medical or the drug establishment to help us with the medicine. I think that's all what I have. Now, the church in Basra, although it is small, so our church, which is the smallest one in Basra, we linked with all the other churches, which are the Catholic, the Chaldean, the Armenian, and the Catholic, the Orthodox Church. We have all the denominations. And this church, these churches, we meet together, forming a group, prayer group, common just one service for all the the priest to share in it with our pastor now, the new one, and just to help each other and figure how to improve our image with the community. Now, the community in Basra are mostly Shia community, very peaceful. They don't have a problem with the Christian. They tolerate the Christian very good. But, I mean, as long as you are respecting them. If you go around and insult their belief, insult their prophets or the imams, their imams, they will be aggressive, like any other person. So we are just moving with them very quietly, very easily, and we are doing a very good job in Basra. And that will reflected on many occasions. One of the occasions that we have one well-known physician in Basra who was suffer from back pain and the slip disc or something like that, and he went to Lebanon to do some operation, and they figure that in the people know that he was going to Lebanon to do the operation, and announce his name in the mosque, that everybody have to pray for Dr. So and So because he need operation in his back. So you have to pray for him. That's one. And the second one, we had a problem in early July. Probably you saw a picture of the hotel which is opposite to the church. That was targeted by terrorists. They put two bombs to a car, exploded. One in front of that hotel. The second one at the back, which happened to be the front of the church. And when the second bomb went on, the whole doors of the church was pulled out, the holy glass came down, and we were in the open air. And we had, for the Christian, there is the religious affair or a Christian affair which is sponsored by the government, and they take care of the churches and whatever the Christian need. But they came, they estimated the amount, and then they went on. They went. Nobody saw them again. So the church was there for a month and a half with no glasses. It was just all the animals were coming inside, and the birds and everybody. So I was in audience with the governor of Basra, who was Shia, of course, and I told him that the church is in a bad mess. I said that is not acceptable. And next day he sent his engineers, the governor engineer, who estimated and fixed it, and the man who did the whole thing, he said, okay now, are you happy? I told him, yes, I am happy. He said, do you need other things? I said, yes. He said, what is that? I told him, I need a generator. Our old one is getting too old, and it may stop, so please, if you can. He said, okay, I will tell the government. So we are trying to be in peace with our community, try to bring them slowly to the word of God, try to get them listen. We are getting a good response. I am sure that there's many Muslims who are practicing Christianity but underground, because they can't announce it. And if they announce it, that means they will be killed. Thank you very much for taking time to listen to me. Thank you. Yes?
What is the basic difference between the Sunni and the Shia?
The, the Sunni and Shia, the Shia thinks they are the two the two Muslim, and they are they have the 12th Imam, who are the descendant of their prophet. The Sunni thinks these are just ordinary persons. They are not Imam, not of any religious importance. The other thing, they have a few differences. They have differences in their theological explanation of the words of Quran. Usually the Sunni are more extremists. The Shia are more peaceful. But they have their practices in religion, especially in the few seasons, they go mad in their practicing, hitting themselves, putting salts on the head, getting bleeding, chains, they beat themselves with chains, just to be to get near to God, which we don't believe. And the Sunni think that this is a blasphemy. That is mostly the difference. I don't know, there is plenty of difference in their theology. Yes.
So the Shia come down and use the
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, are they
geographically
separated?
There is a Sunni in Basra.
Okay.
But the funny things about the Sunni, probably I forgot to mention, in 1920, another missionary came to Basra. His name is John Vaness, also probably from this area as well. John Vaness established a school in Basra, High Hope School, one for girls, one for boys. And later on, his wife came with him, Dorothy Vaness. Now, since 1920, he was getting the children to educate the children. Now, most of the families who are well off in Basra are Sunni, not the Shia. And most of the family who can offer to get their children to the school were Sunni. Now, most of the Sunni in Basra were educated in the American school, in this Reformed Church school. And they are proud of it. I mean, the school was were there till 1969, I think, when the government expelled all the missionaries from Iraq. And they are proud of it, that they are Sunni. So in Basra, mostly they are Shia, but the Sunni faction of them are highly educated, and they are not some kind of fanatics or radicals. Yes. No. It is the same, probably getting worse. Yeah, there is no effort from the government to correct the things. It seems that our leaders are interested in their accounts in the Swiss banks, not with the Iraqi people. No. Well, there's a difference between them, and probably the fighting is not a physical fighting. They are on theological or in writings or whatever conversation. Yeah, but there was a fighting between them. I mean, that's known because Iraq is the like a bridge between Iran and Turkey. Turkey are Sunni, Iran are Shia. So every time one of them fight with the other, Iraq is the site where the fight happened, is the war land. Of course, when the Shia invade the area of Iraq, the Iranian invade, the Shia will support them. When Turkey invade, or the Ottomans invade Iraq, the Sunni would support them. So that probably will is the conflict.
Yes.
Well, I can't. I'm not sure, because sometimes we feel that we are in a war zone, in a danger area, but not from the people. I mean, the people are peaceful. Probably they will protect us better than the government or the police. But the problem is that, like the other day, the bomb exploded just opposite to the church. Not the church was aimed, but the hotel. But the church was on the way. So there is no much fear. But it can happen just in a second. Well, during Saddam Hussein, there was order. I mean, nobody denied that. Now the enforcement of the law is weak. Even the police force is not that good, corrupted. So we don't expect. During the time of Saddam Hussein, as a Christian, I felt more secure. Because Saddam Hussein didn't bother about the Christians. The Christians were in no position to overthrow him. So we were safe from that. No, we baptized children in less than 1 year, but we also baptized the adult. What happened that we had a few occasions we have to deal with adult. One of them is when a Muslim person, he was baptized in India about 40 years ago. And his wife and children want to be baptized. But I mean, just to baptize the Muslim in Muslim country, this is unacceptable. So our pastor who left, he thought, no, I can't. So the only solution was to look for somebody else, because that one was insist on getting baptized for his wife and the children. And what happened, we found that one of the Dominican fathers in Basra was going to leave the country. And he baptized them at the night he was leaving. Baptized them, next morning he took the flight and off he go. So they were baptized. On the other two occasions, you know, there's in Basra, in south of Iraq in general, there's a group of people who think they are the follower of John the Baptist. But they were some of the old Celts which have modified their religion like Christian, like Muslim. They have combination of, we call them the Mandai. Now, two of them, of course, these people, when they learn about their religion, they hate it. Because it look more or less like worshipping stars and worshipping the sun. So some of them came, two families came for in the church and later on asked for baptism. And it is okay with them. We baptized them. The father accepted that he will go immersed in water. The other, were, it was a winter time, so they have the baptism by just a sprinkle or... No. For the Muslim. Yes, yeah. Because even after baptism, and the other people as well, the Mandai baptism, they can't change their religion and their ID card. It's not permissible, especially for the Muslim. If they change it, that means he's dead. Yeah, because any Muslim changes his religion, accept Christianity as his religion, by law, you have to sentence to death.
And what happens
to the baptized? Oh, they prosecute him. But we don't know where he goes. He just left. I don't know in other countries, but in Iraq they are not that strict. I mean, even the Muslim, they are not that strict on their, except a few which use it as a kind of show. Most of the Muslim are moderate type. Yes? Yes. I was in Ireland working and studying just to get my fellowship in Ireland, and I spent 10 years there. We were first my wife and my son, but later on we got two children who carry the Irish nationality, and everything was quiet for me. I was happy to be in Ireland. I was waiting time so I can apply for the Irish nationality. It was during the 80s of 19. I was there 1979 to 1988. In 1987, there was a census in Iraq. And they sent people who just to count the Iraqis in Ireland. There was a few families in there. And when I was filling the form, something flicked in my mind. Why am I staying in Ireland? Why not go back home? And that was kept in my mind till I reached home. So I said, just to ask the wife, because she is the one who will carry the burden. And I was hoping that she would say, no, we are here happy, so stay. Mind you, that time the war was going on in Iraq, between Iraq and Iran. So I told her what happened, and I am thinking of going back home. And for my amazement, she said, yes, we can go as quickly as possible within the early next year. So I thought, this is not her answer. And this, what happened in my mind, is not my thought. Probably the Lord. It is a call of the Lord. And He is calling me to go back home. It happened that my church in Ireland, in Dublin, my congregation, were trying to get a kind of residency, permanent residency for me. And so there were two lines. The line I was going into it to go back home, and they were trying to get me a permanent visa to stay in Ireland. They failed in that. The law cannot permit give me a chance to stay in Ireland for a long time, only if I get a naturalization. So I thought, this is the other sign. I have to go back home. And we went back home. And the war was there. And Basra in 1987 was a ghost town. There was nobody in Basra because it was getting the shelling every day. So we had to get a house in Baghdad, and I kept my wife and the children, and I was in Basra doing my work in Basra because I am attached to the medical college in Basra as well. And later on, it turned to be that I was the only plastic surgeon during the wartime in Basra for 12 years. I worked alone. Nobody was with me. And during the whole attack and counterattacks of the army, I got a lot of casualty to work with. And during 2003 or during the 1996, we had in the church five elders ordained as five elders. But in 2003, it turned out I am the only elder with no pastor, with no elders. So I have to pastor the church for 9 years till 2013. And so sometimes I think, oh God, this is what you have prepared me to do. For all these years in Ireland, I was happy and enjoying life in Ireland. Then you brought me for more work as a doctor because I was alone doing my job and as a pastor of a church. So this is the reason I left Ireland after 10 years of living in peace in Ireland. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Where you talked about being called for doing mission, especially to go back to a war-torn area like that, to go back to the skills that you have.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're in Iraq. More update news about things happening in Iran. What we hear right now is that there's a Christian pastor in jail.
Yeah, he's from Muslim background. That's what I was saying, that they don't accept Muslim to become a Christian. That man was he's pastoring a church. He studied theology and went back, which is dangerous. I mean, he can gain souls somewhere else, not in Iran. So this is the problem. But the churches in Iran are free to worship, are free to do whatever they. I know the women from, you know, in Iran, every woman have to cover her hair, but at the door, at the church, outside the church, they can pull it, go to the church without the veil. So they are free to do whatever they want, as long as they are inside the premises and not interferes with other groups. Yeah, the kindergarten. No, we don't do it. We don't try to mention Jesus in the just respect their religion, because they have plenty of things in their mind. Now, the easiest thing, they don't believe in Jesus was crucified and rise again. That is against their religion, because they have it that he was not the person who was crucified. So this is the sort of... So, well, we have them sign a contract, sign a paper that they accept, but as long as we are teaching the human values, more, we don't mention the Christian value, yes.
Thank you very much. You can understand why we appreciate religious freedom.
Thank
right?
you very much.
Right.
Mm-hmm.